The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I can't even get the plumber to call me back. But to think that I'll someday see Jesus, you know, and I'll get to kneel before him, and I'll feel his hand on my chin. He'll lift me up. He'll wipe every tear from my eye. Yeah, I mean, the hope of heaven is really the greatest hope of humanity.
Max Lucado dives deep into the 26 words of John 3:16 and explains why they matter now more than ever. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy Robeson, and I am excited about today's guest, one of my favorite people on the planet. And if we go to other planets, I'll still like him better than most. Max Lucado has written so many phenomenal books, but 26 words can change the world. Welcome, Max. It's so good to have you with us.
Well, I will just say you need to improve your standard if I'm one of your favorite people. You got to rank it up. You got to jack it up a little higher there, Sheila. Yeah. Hey, it's great to see you both. It's great to see you.
Well, you're the favorite of a lot of people, one of the favorites at least of most people who like to read. And you've written some really fabulous books that really speak to people. Why this book on John 3:16?
Well, it's always been my favorite verse. Of course, I'm not alone. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't think I've ever gotten tired of quoting that verse. I never have. I just love it. One reason is because I'm an old converted drunk. You know, I'm the guy that you would not want your daughter to go out with. The college version of me was just an utter mess. And I never doubted if there was a God, but I certainly doubted that God could love someone like me. So John 3:16 changed my life. And then I've just found such hope in the words through the years that I just feel like we need to go deep in each and every word, especially in these days when so many people are so discouraged, so weary, and so worn out.
Max, what would you say to people who say, if God loves us so much, why is my life so hard?
Yeah, I think we don't get why we're on the earth. I think we're not quite. We need to go back to square one. We are on this earth to make a decision regarding the greatest invitation ever given. And that is, will we spend forever with God on a restored planet in renewed bodies and in a perfect relationship with him? Or will we turn our back on him? Will we walk away and he will honor that request? So really, it comes down to that. I think we've gotten all messed up. We think the reason we're on this earth is so we'll be happy, so we'll have six-pack abs, so we'll have a lot of money. And that's where we get off track, you know, because those things just don't happen. I mean, some of them might, but a lot of them don't. And consequently, the world just gets messed up. The world just gets messed up. And especially when you've got a young version of Max Lucado out there drinking a six-pack every night, he's going to create chaos wherever he goes. So multiply that by several, billion, and you're going to have a chaotic, messed up world. So that's why we treasure John 3:16. For God so loved the world, even with its chaos, even with its screw-ups, even with its people who have turned their back on him. God so loved us that he gave his one and only son, no one else like him in all of history, his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him, if you're a whoever, I'm a whoever, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Wow. You know, that's a scripture that any of us who grew up in church, we've heard, you know, we've seen it on the banners at football games. You know, you see them in the background at movies sometimes. It's kind of funny. But I think we take a little bit for granted the power of the totality of theology encapsulated in those, 26 words, depending on the translation.
Yeah.
How how important is it that we understand the theological ramifications of that one scripture and how it really, it's the cliff notes or whatever they call them these days with kids, right?
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head. I think it's, in many ways, each word is like a theological textbook. God loved, world gave, one and only Son. I mean, you just go right down through every term, and you have a wealth, really a summary of the great Christian hope, all the way down to eternal life, eternal life, perish and eternal life. And so, the scripture is brilliantly brief. It's brilliantly brief. It's small enough, brief enough that even a child can memorize it. And it's deep enough that the greatest theologian will never exhaust it.
You know, it's interesting, Max, when I was speaking at a conference a few weeks ago, and I was talking to a couple of young women who told me they were believers, but they said that they think that there's all sorts of ways to get to heaven. You know, you can't, she said, you're very dogmatic tonight about Christ being the only way. If you'd been there, what would you have said to them?
Yeah, I would say I get it. I mean, you know, that's the human nature in us. We want to say there's all kinds of ways to go to heaven. But Jesus is the one who makes the path narrow. Yeah. He does this himself. He presents himself as the one and only Son. What that means, monogenes in Greek. It's the only person who has the genetic makeup of God. I don't have my daughters have my genetic makeup. I have the genetic makeup of Jack and Thelma Lucado. But I don't have God's genetic makeup, but Jesus did. So he presents himself as absolutely and utterly unique, no one else like him in all of history. Consequently, he can do what no one else can do. He can present himself as the perfect sacrifice for an imperfect Max. And so it's not at all that heaven is trying to keep people out. The truth is, heaven did everything necessary to bring people in. Now, I think it's just a tool of the devil to say, well, you've got a lot of different ways to do it. Well, the fact is, only one person is the one and only Son. Only one person is that. And that one and only Son did what only the one and only Son could do. And when we believe in him, then we receive eternal life.
Yeah. What I love about this is that it points out that all of us as believers have this encapsulated kind of entirety of the message of the gospel, at least enough to share with anyone. And if we understand the significance of each of these words and phrases as you're talking about, it allows us to get into the deeper conversation like we're doing right here. But this is such a great place for every Christian to just kind of go back to. This is like a home base. It's like, start here.
Yes, sir.
And then you can share. I like the first two words, for God, because there's a personhood implication there. It's not a feeling. It's not some, you've got your God, I've got my God. No, like, this is a one person, this is God, which opens up the ideas that it's intentional, it's someone you can know, it's not weird kind of new agey kind of thing. No, this is a person of God. How important is it that we know that it starts with the person of one God?
Boy, I tell you what, Randy, you should have written this book. That is a great point. I mean, because all 3:16 does is unpack the nature of God. Mm-hmm. It does. I mean, you could look at 3:16 and go down each word and say, now, what does this tell us about God? For first, God loved, and then we see the immensity of God's love, and then we see the sacrifice of God's devotion that he gave his one and only Son. But then we also see the justice of God, mm-hmm. in that there will be people who spend their life turning their back on God, telling God to leave them alone. Consequently, God honors their choice. and they do not spend eternal life with him, but they perish. So you could go through John 3:16 and just allow it to reveal all the different, well, not all of them, but many of the manifestations of the character of God.
Yeah.
3:16, you know, unpacks God's unending love. And we were just wondering, when we were talking, who have you experienced that kind of love from in human flesh?
Oh, it would be my wife, Dinalyn.
I love her.
yeah, she's a delight. You know, I'll just share with you a story. About 10 years ago, our church bought iPhones. I don't know why we did, but we bought iPhones for everybody on staff. And I showed up at church one day, and I had a new iPhone on my desk. I put filters on everything. I just don't trust myself. I don't trust myself to know that I'm two clicks away from seeing a picture of a naked woman. And so everything that I have has filters. Well, that phone did not have a filter. And so I thought, I wonder, and I click, 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 and next thing I knew, there she was. Well, I'm sitting in my church office. Can you, it's just the utter humiliation. Locato, oh, man, I just felt so terrible. So I took, later that day, I went home, and I had the phone, and I emptied my pocket. I put the phone on the island in the kitchen. And Dinalyn, my wife, picked it up. She said, oh, you got a new phone. And guess what popped up?
Oh, wow.
That picture. Well, I mean, I was beyond words. I was so embarrassed. And she was beyond words, so mortified. Well, somehow we went to bed. And when I woke up the next morning, I went into the bathroom. And there on the mirror, in lipstick, written like a Valentine-shaped heart, on my side was the picture of a heart and the words, I love you, I forgive you, let's move on.
Wow.
Well, that's the love I've received all of my life from well, not all of my life through Dinalyn, but for almost 41 years now. Wow. She has displayed to me that kind of love. Wow. And I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it, but it's a godly love. It's a divine love. And I tell you what, the best, I look at Dinalyn and I say, honey, you're a picture, you're proof of grace because I don't deserve a wife like you.
I love that.
I might have had a different message on my mirror written in lipstick that looked, you know, a little more like a horror movie, but that aside. the hard part of that scripture does come at the end, and that is for those who reject the grace. This idea of perishing, you know, we love the eternal life part, and we should urge everyone to go there. But there is this hard reality of that choice. What do we need to know about that aspect of God's grace, that if we reject it, it doesn't end well?
I think a conversation about hell should begin with understanding how many invitations God has issued to keep us out of hell. Every rainbow, every slap of a wave against a beach, every bird, every ministry, every conversation every time we've held a baby, anytime we've done anything beautiful, God is saying, this is how much I love you. This is how much I love you. And then when we look at the life of Jesus, the only picture of God ever taken, Jesus Christ, and the fact that he positioned himself on the cross as if to say, if you want to go through hell, you got to get through me. This is how much I love you. And how he died, how he who knew no sin became sin for us. So I think if we're going to really talk about hell, we start by talking about God's love and everything he's done to keep us from there. But then we also acknowledge the fact that God is a just God. And nobody in heaven is going to look up and say, boy, I didn't want to be here. Nobody in heaven. C.S. Lewis famously stated that the doors to hell are locked from the inside. The doors to hell are locked from the inside because there are people who spend a lifetime saying, God, leave me alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't care about what you say about money, about love, about sexuality, about purity. I don't care. I don't care. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. And a just God ultimately honors that request. So spend your life telling God to leave you alone, and he will do just that. It's a terrible thing. It's anybody who has ever preached a sermon on hell and done so gleefully or glibly has not studied hell deeply, because it is the greatest tragedy ever. But I believe that God is doing right now, even right now, to an old drunk like me, converted drunk like me, he is trying to get people, say, don't go there, don't go there. But he is just, and a just God must honor our requests.
What would you say, Max, to somebody watching and thinking, you know what, I've messed up too badly? Can you out-sin the love of God?
Yeah, I said that. I mean, I did. I mean, but the truth of the matter is, what's plan B? You know, I mean, if you don't trust the grace of God, what is plan B? Tell me. Yeah. Are you just going to live your life in misery, beat up? No. The great grace of God redeems us. It turns us into better people. It brings joy into our hearts, lets us live with that punch drunk awareness that we're loved by God, we're known by God, we're cherished. Yeah, we screwed up. Yes, we do screw up. But God has chosen to love the world. He doesn't just love the holy. He doesn't just love the pretty. Mm-hmm. But he loves the world. He loves us all. So let yourself be loved by God.
Beautiful.
And I want to end it with those last two words of John 3:16 and let you talk a little bit about that, because the older I get and the more, you know, difficulty I see. Of course, we've been through the COVID, and everyone's lost someone along the way. The more I think about that everlasting life, or eternal life, depending on the translation, do you think about eternal life a lot these days? And if you do, what do you think?
I love thinking about heaven. I really do. I find such joy. I believe heaven is the green vegetable or the vegetable on the Christian's diet. We need to lift up our eyes and look or set our minds on things to come. And I get really excited. I'm one of these guys too who believes in a literal restoration of Jerusalem and Israel. And whether people agree or disagree with that, that's secondary. But it does get me excited to think about someday going to Jerusalem and walking through the gates and seeing the great city and all the saints who have come and gone before, and enjoying fellowship with them and hearing stories, living in a graveless world, in a tireless body, in a tearless existence. Mm. Oh, and then to know that someday we'll see Jesus. I can't even get the plumber to call me back, but to think that I'll someday see Jesus, you know, and I'll get to kneel before him, and I'll feel his hand on my chin. He'll lift me up. He'll wipe every tear from my eye. Yeah, I mean, the hope of heaven is really the greatest hope of humanity.
Yeah.
Doesn't get much better than that. You know, this is such a fantastic book, Max, and we're going to tell our viewers in a minute how they can get hold of their own copy, but when somebody finishes this book, what is your prayer for each person who reads this book?
Great question. I would pray that they get God. They just kind of get. They understand these core theological terms, in that maybe they've been put off by people like me who even uses the phrase theology, that they're just kind of, that's not for me. But that they'll see that they'll have access to the big ideas of God. That would be a better way of saying it. The attractive, beautiful, big ideas of God.
Beautiful.
I love it. I love it. It's just good news. And we appreciate you sharing that with us. We want to show our audience something, because there is some good news that needs to be spoken in parts of the world where they only get bad news. But today, we can make a difference. And when you participate with us today, we would love to send you Max's book when you request it. It'll bless you. But take a moment to watch this and see how you can be a blessing to someone else.
fact that children and young women are being kidnapped and held captive is intolerable. But what happens next to these innocent victims is unthinkable.
I would scream and cry and say I didn't want to do that work, but the lady would beat me with a big stick. I still have the scars on my arm from her beatings. One girl that was in there with me had her throat slit. Another had her breasts cut off. After seeing all that torture, I was terrified I would get murdered too. So I did the work they forced me to do.
Anjali's story ended well because she was rescued from her captors and she has started the healing process. But there are thousands of other victims and children at risk who are not so fortunate. They are still waiting to be rescued.
I pray that before more girls die in there, we can get them out so they can have hope and a new life like me.
A child. I mean, can you even imagine the horror of these are little children. And for them to be taken into this devastating world where they're used and abused. I actually got to speak to somebody who used to be a trafficker, and he had become a Christian, given his life to Christ and changed his ways when we were in Southeast Asia last time. But he told me the terrible things they do. They'll tell these little girls, you know, come to the city and we'll get you a good job and you'll have lots to eat. You'll be able to care for your family. But usually if they're given a meal, the meal is drugged. And then they'll wake up in some horrible little room with some man that's probably 40 years older than they are. And they're crying out for help. And honestly, this is one of the things that I feel so passionately about. As long as you and I, as long as the body of Christ is on this earth, then the mandate is that we come in Jesus' name and rescue these girls. Think about, if you just look at social media, think about the things we're arguing about and the things that are polarizing us. Do you believe this or do you believe that? One thing I believe is if you love Jesus, you want to make a difference in the lives of those who are hurting. And Randy, we have found a way over the last 15 years to do this very thing.
Absolutely. You know, really, what they are living in is a hell on earth. And we come in and we say, here's the hope of heaven. That is really what we're giving these children. And it's up to you to join us with that. And, you know, as we reach and rescue or restore the lives of these children, we're reminded that this is the essence of the gospel, to show love in word and in deed. We have some partners right now that have stepped up and said, we have $320,000 to offer, $320,000 to offer as a matching gift. What does that mean? That means the gift that you give today will be doubled in its impact. $128 is normally the average cost of the operations because we have people on the ground that are committed to doing this. They're out there in the field. You don't have to go, but we need to support them. And $128 is the average cost of the operations to reach, rescue, or restore one child. But now, today, that gift will reach, rescue, or restore two. Your gift of $64 will now be doubled to reach, rescue, or restore one child. Your gift of $1,280, if you can make that, will reach, rescue, or restore 20. Whatever it is that you can do, we are asking, Sheila, my parents, all of us at Life, the missionaries in the field, we're saying, will you undergird us, support us, enable us to do this work of heaven? I pray that you will go online or go to the phones right now and make the best gift you can and know that we are pulling these children out of their hell and giving them, showing them the love of heaven. Do it now.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, Now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the Prayers for Life Journal, the perfect book to write down your prayers as you reflect on your relationship with Christ. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll also receive the NIV Thin Line Bible, along with 365 Days of Prayer for Life, a beautiful devotional filled with scriptures and key thoughts for each day of the year. Keep all three resources close by for your daily prayer time as you meditate on God's Word. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I hope you are going online or going to the phones and making the best gift you can. We have great news to share with these people, and we want to reach out, and we rely on you to help us do it. Today, when you do, Sheila, I want them to request Max's book.
Yeah, I love this book. 316, The Numbers of Hope. In a world that is so angry and lost and polarized, this is some of the best news you will ever hear in your life. Max, thank you so much for sharing this with us, sharing this with our audience. And we're going to pray that God will take this as far as it could possibly go. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a great joy to be with you and to see you both.
And we will see you next time on Life Today. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Yourself away from the devil. They ask for everything. Promise to set you free. You made a vow to your mother that you'd give your life to your father, the one who helped you see. Won't leave you recklessly.
Regardless of your net worth, estate planning benefits you and your family before and after death and results in peace of mind. As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, can help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Don't put off this important step to peace of mind through better planning. Contact Life Planning Services today. Penny Maxwell knows how painful the healing process can be.
That was sown into my heart, and I had to pull that out by the roots.
Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.